Good morning. Appreciate everyone that's here and everyone that is worshiping with us remotely. I want to remind you we are in a theme, or we have a theme this year, connecting one another. That's an emphasis of ours, something we want to be thinking about periodically and understanding more deeply and the importance of. And so today we're going to get into this idea of sharing each other's burdens, which is, this is kind of a tricky topic. It is a challenge for us for sure. When you can flip in your Bibles to Psalm 34, 17. When I was young, I remember growing up and, my future just seemed almost endless. When you're a teenager and you're looking to your future, what do I want to do with my life? And what are my hopes and dreams? And they're all out there. It's just waiting. And so the future looks great. It's exciting. And I remember getting out of the house and in college, and that was an exciting time of life. And then as a young adult out of college, I remember this kind of epiphany, that this point in time in which I had experienced some trials of my own, and then I had definitely seen struggles that people go through, and problems, trials, tragedies, to the point where I remember saying to Mom and Dad one time, I remember being home and saying to them, "Hey, life is rough." And I said it not like I was telling them something. I said it like, y'all knew this. And I wasn't upset that they hadn't told me, but it was a real weird thing. It was like, hey, it's crazy out there, isn't it? And I knew they knew. And I knew I had just been sheltered, so to speak, and that's fine. But that moment in adulthood when I realized, hey, what I thought adulthood was in, how exciting and hopes and dreams and wonderful and beautiful and all this. Well, there is some of that, and there's also heartache. There's also trials. There's also pain and just tragic things that happen. So Scripture says, Psalm 34, 17, when the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them. So it's a reminder, God doesn't put a bubble around the righteous. He doesn't protect the righteous from trials. If you're living life, you're going to live through some trials, some hardships. He delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Life at times will crush your spirit. Amen? Anybody agree with that? At times it can crush your spirit. It can be very, very heavy. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28, "Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Have you ever heard that phrase, the statement, the idea, God will not give you more than you can handle? God will not give you more than you can handle. That's a lie. That's not in here. That's not in here. There is Scripture that says God will not let you be tempted more than you can bear, beyond what you can resist. Anytime we sin, it is because we fell short. We can never say, God, that was too much temptation. But regarding burdens, struggles, the things that we the things that can crush our spirit, the things that weigh us down, Jesus doesn't say, all you who labor and are heavy laden, y'all need to buck up because you don't have anything that's more than you can bear. Suck it up, buttercup. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. I mean, there's a time and a place for that. But Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. Where does the world go for rest from stress and burdens? The world goes to substance abuse, alcohol, drugs of different kinds, reckless behavior, addictions. And I want to tell you, young people, life is one way now if you're living at home. into adulthood, you'll find yourself in a place where you are stressed and your burden is too heavy, and you'll be tempted to reach to some of these quick fixes that are addictive and not healthy and not good. And Jesus says, I've got something for you. Amen. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me. And by product of Jesus, his people. So we'll get into that today. Galatians, so one passage, I want to look at about three different ones. Here's one in Galatians chapter 6. And there's a unique context of it, but then also there's application beyond this. But Paul says, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourselves, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The context here is someone is caught in sin. They're tangled up in sin. They are not walking with God. Maybe it's something that is public. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's probably embarrassing. And they are, you know, kind of out, they've fallen outside the flock. And Paul says you need to try to restore them, but you who are spiritual need to go. And why would that be? Because if the immature go, it can get real messy. When you try to help somebody in a wrong, it's like trying to free, it can be as bad as trying to free a wild animal who's trapped up in, you know, some debris and you're trying to rescue them, but they don't understand that. And so this is the context here. Someone is caught in sin. And so bear one another's burdens. The word translated burden here is the Greek word baros, and it means weight, load, burden. This is heavy. This is a heavy burden, and that's what you're trying to bear with this person. You're trying to help them. And yet, Scripture goes on to say, you know, so it says those who are spiritual, and then it says be careful lest you're tempted. Why would you be tempted trying to help someone with sin? Well, you could be tempted with pride. What if they have a little pushback with you? Pride could come into play. You could be tempted to pry. Anytime one is down and you're up, Satan is going to be in your ear trying to tempt you with pride. And when it reads on, verse 3 says, anyone who thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. That's kind of a weird thing to say in a situation where you're trying to help someone in sin, but it's about pride. And when someone is in sin, the last thing they want is people to look down on them. It's part of why the world has trouble coming to Christ. They feel like they're being judged. And so verse 4 talks about test, you know, each one should test his own work. In other words, check yourself. You know, look at the plank in your own eye. Be humble. That's the message. And then verse 5 has a different message. Each will have to bear his own load. It's kind of contradictory. Sounds like it. Verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. Here this says, you bear your own load. You can handle it. You take care of it. And so what's the difference? And it's important to know that the Greek word translated load here is different than in verse 2. The word here for teon means an invoice, a task, a service. And so one word means, the first word means this is a heavy load. This word here is more like the word responsibility. I think responsibility communicates it well. And so the message is, we each have things that we're responsible for, yes. I mean, we're not here to do what people can do for themselves. But there will be times when we are overburdened. And so when does it go from, well, I can handle this, to, oh, this is too much, I need help? Anyone have a hard time asking for help? There's some liars in here. There's some more hands that need to go up. You know y'all have a hard time asking for help. I remember one time I think I was sick. I really can't remember what it was, but I was down for some reason, and our lawn had grown up. It needed to be mowed, and I'm the one that mows the lawn, and so I remember one time Stephanie, she either called, this is when Greg Foster was here, and he was a deacon at that time, and he would do a number of things, but Greg was known for just kind of benevolent things, just going and helping someone. And I remember she either called Greg or said she was going to call him. And I didn't like either one. I did not like that one bit. Do not call another man to come and mow my yard. I don't care if I'm on my deathbed, was how I felt about it. And it wasn't that I wanted her, you know, to go mow it or anything like that. It's pride. It's hard to ask for help. It's hard sometimes to receive help. And so, but that's what this passage is about, helping one another. This last part, verse 5, yes, you have responsibilities, you take care of that. Verse 2 says sometimes it's going to be too much and you're going to need help. And so when we don't let people help, when we carry that mask that says I've got it all together, but we really don't, the truth is we rob people of some joy. Here's the irony. Now, I mentioned I had a hard time asking for help, but here's the irony. I've helped in a few different instances, been able to help someone else. One I remember, and a number of you helped, Brian Knotts, Brian and Sheila, but Brian has these greenhouses, and he grows mums and sells them. And I know, you know, it doesn't seem like Brian is a big deal. You know, Brian just seems like just a regular, ordinary guy. I mean, he's very handsome with his complimenting on his hairdo. But, and style, Brian, you're very stylish. But with mums, he's kind of a big deal. And I'm not joking about that. It's quite an operation what he does with his livelihood. But with his greenhouses, there came a time when one of them needed the top plastic, I call it plastic, I don't know what it is. Anyway, needed to be changed. These are large greenhouses. Brian, sorry to put you on the spot. What's the size? What's the dimensions of that, give or take?
Large one, 35 by 120, so the plastic was 45 by 135.
45 by 135 feet. It's heavy. It's a big, big job. Big job. And so, Brian solicited a number of people to help. And my point by all that is, and some of you remember helping with that, it was fun. I think for everyone except Brian, probably. I'm pretty sure. I enjoyed it. And I know everyone else that helped that day, it's enjoyable. Here's my point. It's enjoyable to help someone else with their burden so often. I mean, maybe there are times when it is more work or more, you know what I mean, more sacrifice. That wasn't sacrifice. But I know good and well if he could have pulled that off without asking anyone, he would have. Should not have, but he would have. Why? Because we're that way. We don't want to ask someone else for help. And the irony is we don't want to burden others. We don't want to share our burdens, but in doing so, in withholding that, we steal people, we rob people of the joy of helping. It is joyful to help. It is enriching. It is a privilege. When you help someone, especially anything pertaining to Christ or the church, you know, within the church or in Christ's name, when you can help someone some way and you do, and you're doing God's work in that, it is a special feeling. And so when we don't let people know that we need some help, we steal joy from them. Another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Let's go there, 2 Corinthians 8. The setting here is in Jerusalem at this time, there was a famine. And it is said that this famine lasted over 5 years in and around Jerusalem. So this is where the Jewish Christians would be. Some say, which this was kind of a surprising statement to read for me, some say one of Paul's greatest accomplishments was how he connected money from the Gentile Christian world with the physical needs of the Jewish Christian world. Now remember, Jews and Gentiles despise each other. And in the church, they struggled with that. But Paul went to the Gentile Christians and said, hey, your brothers in Jerusalem need help. And some say one of his greatest accomplishments was being able to connect those two. In these 15 verses in 2 Corinthians, we'll start with verse 8. So chapter 8, verse 8. In these 15 verses, the word grace is used. He uses the word grace 10 times. It's about money. The situation was financial need, but it's really about love. It's really about grace. It's about extending help to someone else. So verse 8 says, I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. So Paul's going to kind of tug on their, you know, he's going to inspire them in a number of different ways. One is he talks about the Macedonian Christians. So there are other Gentile Christians who have given, been generous. He says, hey, Christ was generous with you. Look at what Christ did for you. And then verse 12, he says, for if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. Your Bible may read eagerness. Instead of readiness, it may read eagerness or willingness, a willing mind. And the point is, God is not asking you to do what you're not capable of doing. God's not asking you to give, whether it be money or your time or your talents. God's not asking you to give something that you don't have. He's just asking, are you willing? And even more so than willing here, the word readiness is a good word. Are you ready? Are you eager? Are you cheerful? God loves a cheerful giver in a financial context. But in what we do to help someone, and these are Christians who are helping other Christians, Paul says that the important thing here is, are you eager to do this? Are you ready to do this? Verse 13, for I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. So he uses the word fairness twice here. And notice that he says, you know, you have abundance now, and you could help them, and then their abundance may. So he says, your abundance should and their abundance may. What he's saying is, you're in position to help now. There may come a day when you need help, and they would be in position to help you. I remember when Stephanie and I were in Wilburton, we had a couple there, an older couple, who periodically would help us. They would just give us, you know, $100 here and there financially. And they would just, you know, so we were always thankful and humbled by that. There was never a particular need that we had or that they knew of. Just they knew we were young and, you know, not, and didn't have money to burn. And so they would just bless us that way periodically. And it was humbling. And I remember kind of, you know, those are always awkward situations. To receive that, you don't want to just say, you snatch it out of their hand and be rude. So you're being polite and you're, oh, I don't know. It's humbling receiving help. But she made the statement, listen, when she talked about her and her husband, years ago, people would bless us. Now we're able to bless you. She said, hey, someday you will likely be able to bless someone else. And she was right. She was right. And that's what this verse says. In the church, we each will have times when we are doing better and we can help. Maybe your health is good. Maybe your finances are good. Maybe your time is good. Maybe you know something that someone younger doesn't know and you can help. But bear in mind that there may come a day when you need help. And so it's not that you do it to kind of bank those favors. You know, I'm going to do it now and then I'll cash in later. It's just saying fairness. We bless each other and we will go through times when we have more and you're in the position of the giver, or times when you're in need. All right, and then one more passage, 1 Corinthians 12. really good passage on this topic of caring for one another, bearing one another's burdens. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21 says, "The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you." So Paul's using an analogy here, talking about a church family like us, a congregation, and he's using the analogy of the human body. So the body has, and it's about unity. And so your physical body has different parts that do different things, but they're all important. You know, you take care of your entire body, and it's unified. So he'll use this analogy here. Now, understand it may be, I mean, it's no stretch to think that in the church at Corinth, this would be a well-to-do town. There was a lot of commerce in Corinth. There was a lot of different nationalities would do business in this town. It was a busy town. And so in the church here in Corinth, there would be some that would be well-to-do. They'd be doing well. They would be the upper crust. And then you would have a number of people from the working class. And it is no stretch to think that some of the upper crust might look down on some of the, you know, lower wage working class. And so Paul uses the analogy here, and some say that when you think about the fact that your eye and your head represent a part of your body that's more honored. In other words, think of it this way. When you have a driver's license picture taken, they don't take a picture of your hand. Now, granted, they'll do your fingerprints, but they don't take a picture of your hand. We don't identify people with our hands. They don't say, take off your shoes and your socks. We're going to take a picture of your foot. How do we identify each other? Our face. Even more so, I can see some wearing masks, and I still know who you are. Your eyes. These are the more honored part of our body. And so in a comparison to a group of people, you see what I mean? The human body, this is the well-to-do area, and the hands may have calluses. You wash your hands, and you wash your feet. And if you walked around in sandals on dirt, you would wash your feet. You see what I mean? Compared to your face and your eyes, you know, this really kind of, no doubt, struck at part of what they needed. And the message is this, on this verse here, it's easy to read through this. Don't ever think that you're better than someone else here. We may have different roles, we have different talents, we have different abilities, experience, health, wealth. I mean, you can make a long list of our differences. But none of us are better than anyone else here. At all. By any stretch. Right? That's a message from Satan. And it's pride. And we have to be careful about it. Verse 22, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. So the human body, we take care of it. Some parts we cover because they're private. Some parts we take care of, we pamper because maybe it needs that. If you've ever had a sprained your wrist, what do? You take care of that wrist. Use your other hand. We take care of our body in whatever it needs. And there's unity. And then look at this statement. But God, now this is talking about the church, but God has so composed the body, the church, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Part of being connected is us caring for each other. It's us caring for each other. Recently, we have one of our dogs, Leon, is having some trouble, and he's acting weird. He wasn't eating. He was just not as active as he normally is. Wasn't eating, wasn't drinking. And then he would just stand and shake. So I'd take him outside to go to the bathroom. I thought he was a little sick with something. He would just stand there and shake. So we take him to the vet, and that's a whole other story. But what does he have? Pancreatitis, something like that. Dogs have pancreases, evidently. I'm not a vet, but so we have some medicine, you know, we're taking care of him. And the reality is, how did we know this? He didn't tell us. He was acting weird. He was acting like something was wrong. It's best if we can learn some words, if we can learn to communicate, if we can learn to take our masks off and be real with each other. And when we are struggling, there's a time and a place, but it's best to be able to. I encourage you to learn three words today. Pray for me. Can you say that? Say that with me. Pray for me. If you're struggling, just tell someone when they say, "Hey, how are you today?" You know what? I got some things going on. You may want to talk about it, you may not. But if all you can get out is, "Would you just please pray for me?" That's it. And they might say, "Well, what's going on?" Well, you might tell them. You might say, "You know, I don't feel like talking about it. But if you would just pray for me." You can text someone that. Pray for me. Do we need to do that more? Anybody here been carrying your own burdens? I don't mean responsibility. I mean burdens. Just carrying it yourself, plowing away, trudging along, thinking nobody else cares about my burdens. That's Satan, and that's what he wants. And so sometimes we have to see in people like our dog Leon. We have to see, you know, I don't think something's, you know, they don't seem like their normal self. And we need to check on each other. I encourage you with a small group, if you're not in one, to talk to us about the small groups that we have and the options for you to participate in a small group or the 5 o'clock service, but to be in a group where you can say, "Hey, this is what's going on with me this week. Please pray for me." We need to be more honest with each other, don't we? We need to be more open. And there are a lot of ways to do it. But this is how God always wanted us to be. So we're going to sing a song of encouragement into my heart. You may not be right with God. You may not be, you know, a day's coming. Jesus is coming back, and that will be the end of this life and all of our, we're going through a test right now. Do you love God or not? And if you've never given your life to Christ, we'd love to help you with that. If there's someone here that has a burden that you would like us to lift up to God on your behalf, we would love to do that if you'd come while we stand and sing.
Into my heart.